sit high, hear my song, hear my cry, I will bring a sacrifice, I will bring a sacrifice.
Church. Let's stand on up. Worship the Lord this morning with us.
Fear is losing ground to a hope. the third day dawn. Darkness was denied and the storm was gone. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on. Praise forevermore, Jesus our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Just had a hard time hearing my keyboard here up there. Can you guys hear a keyboard? Can I get you guys good? All right, cool. As always, huh? Turn the piano up a little bit.
I want to dance. All right, how is everybody today? You liking this weather? Better than that snow and ice and stuff the other week and all that good stuff. So, hey, welcome. We're glad that you're here today. We just want to worship God and have a good time. I want to tell you something today. Guess what? A couple more weeks till Easter. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Wow, that's wild. That's wild. That's wild. Next week is Palm Sunday, so Passion Sunday. So we're going to talk about some of that. We're going to with that, we're going to talk a little bit about our announcements. We're gearing up. We have two more weeks of our series now, including today, and then we're going to be beginning Hope Rising. We'll talk more about that in our announcement. Wayne, got anything good?
Somewhat. I mean, I'm kind of a nut job on the computer, you know. If somebody says something to me, I look it up and Google it, and I'm always trying to figure out, you know, if it's true or not. I guess I'm kind of a fact checker, you know. So, you know, I always think about churches and, you know, why there's so many churches. I mean, there's like 330,000 churches in the United States, and it's just mind-boggling how many churches there are, you know. And I wonder why, you know, like 90% are Protestant, the rest are other, you know. So, the guy that wrote the article said, you know, do we need more churches? Do we need more churches? Or should we just, yeah, why? Yeah, because he said we need more churches because it's easier to give birth than resurrect the dead.
That's awesome.
That's what we're doing here, right? We're giving birth. I mean, we're not reinventing the wheel here. We're just trying to create a new body of believers. And that's what we're doing. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, if I invite you to a baby shower or a funeral, which one would you go to? Nobody wants to go to a funeral, right? All right, cool. That's what I got.
All right.
Deep thoughts, right?
You better check the pulse of the person next to you with that reaction. There might be a funeral here. All right, everybody good? Oh, that was something. All right. One of the things is how many have been blessed by God? All right, that's good. We're going to talk about his blessing starting off here today. And it's an old one, but it's, you know, we were talking about this the other day. Some of the hymn writers just understood deep theology. They understood what it meant to, like, really love God. Now, we've done dumb stuff down for us to make it easier, and it's our culture that we have just songs that seem to flow easier. But just some of the words that they understood went to the depth of their connection with God. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about in the message today, about not only feeling God, because we live in a very feel culture, right? I don't feel like going. My kids will say, I don't feel like doing it. And what's my response? I don't care, right? And you know, a lot of times we're like, God, I don't feel you. I don't really feel like going to church. I don't really feel like talking about you. I don't feel like reading your word. I don't feel like praying. How many of us have ever had some time where God wants us to do something, we know it, and we just don't feel like it, right? If we're all honest. And so, faith is not feeling. And so we're going to talk more about that today. And just as you sing today, this song and some of the songs, just listen to the words and the expressions of the heart. Some of the greatest songs ever written in worship to God were done in a time where they didn't feel like it. Great is Thy Faithfulness was written after he watched his Horatio Spafford watched his wife and children drowned in a boat. You don't feel like writing a song about Great is Thy Faithfulness at that moment, do you? So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to go ahead and just worship God, okay?
Songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Song. Now my heart
bound by all my sin when your love came and set me free. And now my soul can sing a new song. Now my heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me, and I'll never be alone. And now my soul can sing a new song. Now my heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me, and I'll never be alone. My soul can sing a new song.
Sing it out.
Now my heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me, and I'll never.
One more time. Now my soul.
Alone. Now my soul can sing a new song. My heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me, and I'll never be alone.
Amen. Y'all should have praise.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations. He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Fears and failures fill my life again. Give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. I surrender to you, Lord. Savior, He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Lift it up forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. My Savior, Savior. He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Thank you.
God is
mighty to save.
Yes, he is. Forever.
Lord God, we just praise you that we can come to you and we can celebrate, and we're going to too. The whole world is going to celebrate in a couple weeks the risen King. And God, may we not only celebrate that one day on the holiday with all kinds of other things, but may we celebrate each and every day of our lives and live that out, that we are children of the risen King. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, at this time, our children can go to our Shoreline ministry, and the rest of us will hang in here. Say hi.
All right, good morning. How are we doing today? Good. All right, a couple things here. We want to lift up a couple of our announcements that we have here. Number one, welcome. We're glad that you're joining with us today, whether here or on. We definitely want to welcome our online church as well, but we want to welcome all of you who are here and those who went to take their children to our Shoreline Sunday School ministry. We hope that they're going to have a good time. We trust that they will. All right. But if you are visiting with us today, go ahead and fill out the card, hopefully, that you received. And when you fill that out, just you can drop it on a plate. You can take it to somebody, whatever you want to do. And then we have a small gift for you if you take it out here. If you want to take it to someone out front, they will make sure you get that. To those who are part of Church Online, go ahead, sign on right on the Facebook page. We'd love to hear your responses and love to hear connections from you as well. So if you want to become a member of Haven, May 21st, that's here. Look at some other kinds of other things. I also want to recognize if you're watching online and you're not going to be at a PC sometime or a Mac or something, go ahead. You can download our Haven app, which is in Android and iOS format. Snack table help for those who are here. If you'd like to help out with that, please go ahead and let us know. There's information for that. Hope Rising Bible Study. We're going to talk about that in a second. I'm going to go ahead and have Melinda show a video in a couple minutes after we're done here, and I'll tell you when. All right. These things. Remember I said Easter's coming up, so guess what? Lilies. If anybody would like to have Easter lilies in honor or memory of someone, please feel free to fill those out. You can definitely write these if you're quick and you want to do it now. You can do it and drop it in the plate or make sure we get them. If you can also fill that out online, as well. If you really want that to be part of a church and you can't make it here, we can go ahead and do that as well. And there's an avenue. And if you forget, lose the paper, you can also fill it out online. A couple things that we want to talk about. April the 9th, which is coming around the corner, is next week. And that is our Palm/Passion Sunday. April 14th is our Good Friday service. So we always have a Good Friday service here. It's a powerful service. I welcome you all to come here. We usually meet about 7 o'clock, and it's usually about an hour. And it's a great moving service that people enjoy to give testimony to what Christ did for us on the cross. And then April 16th is we have two Easter celebrations. We're not going to have our sunrise service this year, but we are going to have an 8:15 a.m. service and a 10:15 service to give people enough time to get here. We know some will have to travel after that, etc., but we want to give those options. So 8:15 and 10:15 for Easter Sunday on the 16th. All right, I'm going to ask Melinda to go ahead right now and show the video based off of Hope Rising, and then Jill's going to come and share some things after we're done with that.
We have put together the most exciting, compelling, relevant, life-changing series we've ever done coming out of Easter. And I think when I say the title, it's going to resonate with you immediately. Hope Rising.
I had a package at the door that contained $400 worth of gift cards anonymously.
And 2 years into our marriage, we found out that we had infertility on both sides.
To be present and experience God where I'm at and experience what God is blessing me with.
My youth pastor was killed unexpectedly in a motorcycle accident.
By myself with two little kids wondering if he was gonna make it through. And all I had was prayer.
That God is a God who does not give up. He didn't give up on so many misfits, so many screw-ups, so many people who time and time again just thought that they could save themselves, but he never gave up on them.
We live at a time where we all need hope. We need it in our families. We need it in our careers. We need it in our relationship. We need it in our finances. We need hope.
All right, how many of you believe we need hope? Okay, so that's very good. We have a clipboard that is here for if you want to go ahead and sign up, pass that around for anyone who would like to sign up for that. The books are $11, right? And we can work with that if there's issues. We're also going to try to have an online option as well. So if you're interested in those things, just to give you some of the lessons, when life doesn't go the way you planned, how many's life went perfectly the way you planned it? Okay. When the speed of life is out of control, how many feeling that? All right. When you are not happy with the hand you're dealt. When facing it alone. When you're about to give up. And when your only option is prayer. What do you need? Hope. And so that's what we're going to embrace. And what a better day to launch that than on Easter Sunday when all hope seemed lost and then Christ changed everything. Amen. All right, so we challenge you to sign up for that and go ahead and be part of Hope Rising. Jill's going to come and share about some opportunities that we also have.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. On your bulletin, there's some announcements. And as you know, our church is tremendously giving in missions and missions efforts. And there's a number of them on here. And I wanted to make sure today that you had the opportunity to understand what's on here and then also participate. The first one, Shelley talked to us a couple weeks ago about the challenge of addiction in our community and about the lack of resources and ability for folks to get help. We have the opportunity and the blessing that Monarch Ministries has transitional housing opportunities in our community for people to come, and they can just come. But they need funding and they need help. And so one of the opportunities you have today and next week is last week, right, Shelley, is to give a donation to help further that ministry. Now, you can do it in a lot of ways. You can just give whatever is on your heart to give, but we also have the ability to kind of sponsor a day or a week or a month if you so desire. But don't miss out on that opportunity, because someone is counting on someone like you doing that. Okay, so that's one. The second one is, in along with that, we have Narcan training here this week. If you know someone who is struggling with addiction, or if you have a family member or someone who you know is struggling with addiction, this is a not-miss event. You will also get the Narcan while you're here, right? And you'll be able to use it. It's a life-saving thing for those that need it. So let folks know about that. The flyer's in your bulletin. You can check out that. And then I also wanted to announce today that Haven is taking a mission trip to Haiti on August 5th. So we're very excited. This is the first mission trip our church has sponsored. More information next week will be coming. But suffice it to say, if you want to go, that's not very far away. So please pray about it. Please let me know, or go on and send an email to me. We're going to send some more information, but time is clicking, and we're going to try to get some stuff done. Do you know that Haiti is the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere? And so God placed it on our heart, and that's where we're going. So a couple other announcements on here. Christmas in April. Bob's around here somewhere. He's going to have a meeting after church. That's the ability to do service projects in the community. Please stop by and see him after church. Where do you want to be? Okay. And last but not least, we have Paris Foundation on Easter Sunday. What a gift we can give to people to sponsor there. So I just wanted to make sure there's a lot on here. I just want to make sure you all had an opportunity to hear it and participate. Okay? Pray about it. All right. Thank you. Monarch House daily cost was $20. Yeah, it's in here. $20. And then I think it was $150 a month. $150 a week. $600 a month, okay? But, you know, don't be stuck with that. If you feel like you want to give a day or a week or whatever, that's fine, but whatever you can give. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks. So lots of stuff going on. That's good things, okay? We want to lift up prayer concerns right now and joys. One of the things we want to lift up, I know there's a Men's Emmaus weekend that's going on, retreat weekend, and also a Girls' Chrysalis. And so we want to lift those up that are going on right now, retreat weekends. We have some prayers here. Kitty Comer asked for prayers for Connie Porter, who had bladder surgery on Friday and is not doing well, who's on a ventilator, so we're going to lift her in prayers. Dana Webb said to remind us that today is World Autism Day, and please pray for all the children, adults, and families who see the world through the window of autism, and we pray that God's spirit burns bright in them and may honor the richness of diversity and help us recognize the unique gifts that we have, that many have to offer. And also, Emily Hewitt, prayers for Bill Webb, who had throat surgery on Tuesday, Ed Motes, who had surgery on Monday and Wednesday, Bonnie Snyder, who is in the hospital, and a praise for Mark Whitmore. He does not have bone cancer in his bones. He still has serious health issues, though. So we want to lift them up in your prayers as well. Again, we want to pray for all those who were in that bus accident, the church bus accident that we heard. Actually, we want to pray for their families, because we know that for those who are, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for the believer. And so they're not upset today, but we know that their families are as well. Do we have any others to add to the prayer list that we want to touch on really quickly? All right, well, let's go to Lord in prayer at this time then. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we thank you for all the good gifts that you give to us, every amazing thing that you gave us breath today to get out of bed, and you're just an incredible God who we love, and we don't know what life would be like if we didn't love and seek to serve you. And so, God, during this time, we want to lift up all of the prayer requests that we've had, and we want to just take time to thank you for who you are. And so, God, as we look at those who've struggled with surgeries and healing and repercussion, we come to you and we just ask for your healing and your divine presence. For those in our community and world that we hear that that there are those who are less fortunate, that don't have, may we be your hands and feet. As we seek to do these ministries in our community with Monarch House, with Paris Foundation, with Christmas in April, God, use us as your light in this area. As we've taken a step to go ahead and say, let's do something for Haiti. I just can't help but just believe, God, that this is out of your call, that you set in the seeds of this church and in our hearts many years ago, but have brought it to fruition for this time, that we can make a complete difference in the world for you. And so, Lord, during this time, as we're here with online church and in presence, wherever we are right now, God, that we are your people and we need to hear from you. Today we're going to talk about, God, about how we don't always feel you and your presence. Now we want to believe, but I don't feel anything. I don't hear anything. So God, today, if we are that person, make yourself more real to us than you ever have before. Through your word, through song, through just a touch from you. And God, send that same blessing and that same touch upon your gifts, your tithe and our offerings, so that we can meet these many needs and just be the church that you would have us be. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right, please stand. Not a time of offering as much as this time it's in our worship and praise.
Today's scripture reading comes from Psalm 88, verses 13 and 14. But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me?
Okay, today we are on week three of a series, a four-part series, which is called God Didn't and I Can't. When I want to believe, but. Okay, being real serious, has anybody had a time where you had a crisis of faith? That maybe you were like at a point where you were just kind of like, all right, I believe, but I got to tell you, this doesn't make sense. Okay, this is something. We have gone through several different areas. We're dealing with challenges or hurdles that keep people from really believing and trusting in God. And what I've been trying to make a case is that people are really, what they're not believing in is the warped view or distorted view of who God is. And so we've been working with this through the several weeks. Week one, we went ahead and talked about Sugar Abba. Remember we talked about God as a sugar daddy? That we think God is a sugar daddy that we just say, you know, I need, please help. And he goes, oh, I've been waiting for that. Here we go. And we talked about how sugar Abba or sugar daddy doesn't exist. Last week, we talked about God the party pooper. Remember that? We want to believe, but God, man, you're just like, exactly. You're not very nice. You don't do what we, you ruin all our fun. We want to go ahead and have some fun, and you're just a fuddy-duddy, and I don't want to be a dud. I want to be fun. And we found out that that's not the case as well. Next week is probably the most popular one. It's the one that's most popular, and I think it fits perfect as if we're talking about Palm/Passion Sunday. We talk about God as the callous or heartless God. That God, you know, I want to believe in you, and I hear how like loving you are, but really, come on, God. Why, there's some bad stuff going on, and how does that happen? You're just heartless, God. You're heartless in there. And so that's where we're going to finish up with next week. And today, we are going to talk about tingly all over. Woo! Tingly all over. And about how I don't feel, I don't see, and I don't hear God. And when I can't feel him, how can I believe in someone or something that I don't feel? Like, for instance, some of you may... I remember in the early days, that people would come to Jesus and they'd say, well, now start by reading John's gospel. Anybody remember those days? They'd tell you, just start reading. And you say, well, I'm not getting anything. Just keep reading. Anybody ever heard that? Okay? They just keep reading. Go ahead. Just keep reading. Read. And back then, and I'm not begrudging whatever translation, but most of us probably had King James. And we were trying to translate while we're trying, and the only thing that many of us were feeling was disgust or frustration. Am I right? Like, what does "dost thou sayeth" meaneth? Right? We end up in those kind of areas, and we struggle with some of that. Or other times, you may be part of a worship service, and people will be singing, they'll be raising their hands, they'll be crying, they'll be just like swaying back and forth, and you're feeling nothing. You're just like, what's wrong with these weird people? I mean, I've been to a Pentecostal church where this guy, he's dancing like this. And I'm like, maybe they won't see me if I don't move. You know, like that kind of stuff. And you're wondering what's going on here. And somebody say, can't you feel the Spirit? And I'm like, I don't know what I'm feeling, but I'm ready to get out of here. You know, we have those kind of areas. Or somebody say, just pray. just go ahead and pray. And you sit there and you pray, and then your brain is like mine. It tends to wander. And you say, "Dear Lord, oh, that's right. I have to go to the store today, and I have to get that." Or and they'll forget. I have to make sure I cut the grass. And then you're like, "Oh, yes, God, back to you." And you're praying, and meanwhile you're frustrated. And you feel nothing. Or you prayed well, and you prayed and prayed and prayed, and you get nothing. You hear nothing. You feel nothing. And you're like, "I just completely wasted my time." Let's be honest. Has anybody ever been in any of these places before? Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about today in this section. You know, there are several times where people just base so much off a feeling and they don't feel. You may have been at a point where sometimes where you're like in a group, a Bible study, or you may work with somebody who's, let's call them like this, the annoying Christian. The one that said that God just seems to be like on a hotline with them. You know what I mean? That like they're the secret service for God. Yes, okay, God, I'll go ahead. And they go, "You know, I pulled into the mall at Christmas time and my leg was bothering me and I just prayed and right there in the first row there was a parking spot and I just thanked God for it." And then you may go ahead a little bit more and they say, "You know what? And I got to tell you, we've been praying about my daughter going to school and you know, she got a full ride to an Ivy League college. Praise God." And meanwhile, you stop and say, "You know, when I went shopping, I prayed and all I had to park was 3 miles away and walk my rear end all the way up there. I was frustrated by the time I got up there. And by the way, my child just failed 12th grade. Okay, and I prayed that God would get him through." Anybody relating to this? And you just want to smack the person who gets all these answers from God, don't you? Anybody? Am I the only one? Okay, so here we are. So we have this kind of situation. So let me ask you, how many of you have ever felt God's presence? Go ahead. How many have ever felt God's presence? How many of you felt God's presence today? Anybody? Okay, a couple of us here today. All right, so I want to ask you this question. How did you feel God's presence? Okay, oh, there we go, tingly. So we got the tingly one. How many got goosebumps? How many ever cried? You know, sometimes I get a tingly feeling after eating too much Taco Bell. You know what I mean? And sometimes I may just, you know, I may watch like a sad YouTube video that may make me cry. Does that mean God's presence is there, or does that mean that there's something else going on there? Some of you may just say, "I have a peaceful feeling." Sometimes you may have the Eagles on and you get a peaceful, easy feeling. I don't know. But, and you may have that with candles and just chilling out and nobody's in the house. And you're just like, "Oh, it's wonderful," right? So how do you tell the difference? How do you tell God's presence from these things? Maybe some of you didn't feel God's presence. Let me ask you this. Whose fault is that? Is it God's? Is it like God said, "You know what? I saw you're weak. I'm giving everybody else presence. That person that's over there, they had a good week. I'm giving them my presence. You, nope, not doing this week." Is it you? Is it you not ready to feel God's presence? Or is it Wayne's fault? He didn't pick the songs that you like. "I don't like these new songs. I don't want to sing new songs. I want to sing the old ones." There we go. Come on, Wayne. There you go. It's Wayne's fault. Let's all blame him, right? Okay? So we go through that. We have all these kind of things. But I got to tell you one. I got to tell you something. God's presence is so much bigger than our feelings. And that's what we've got to learn. And so here's what I want to say to you. If you don't always feel God's presence, you're not alone. If you don't always feel feelings, nothing more than feelings. We base our faith and whether we're doing well with God off of feelings so much. And God's presence is so much bigger. And if you don't feel God all the time, you are not alone. Let's look at the scripture here in Psalm 88:13. "But I cry to you for help." David wrote a lot of Psalms, and there's a lot of the Psalms that talk like David was close to God. Felt God, had all kinds of awesome things. But let's look here. "I cry to you for help." Does that seem like somebody who needs the presence of God? "In the morning, my prayer comes before you." Sounds good so far, right? "Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me?" How many of you ever really had a need, had a situation where you're like, "I need you, God. I need your presence. I need you. Oh, God, God, please." And all of a sudden, you do the right things. And you felt like God is just not listening or not talking at all. You see, I remember, like we were talking about the Chrysalis retreat weekend. I did five girls' weekends and one boys' weekend in a row when I was younger and had a lot more energy. All right, and I remember there was a weekend that was there. And I had known some of the kids there, but there was this one girl there who I knew briefly. And I knew them from a tragic situation. her brother was killed in a car accident, along with several other teenagers, right before somewhat before graduation. And it affected them in a major way. It affected the whole town. They were from Elkton High School, I believe. And it was a big situation, to the point that when I went to plan for the funeral, I remember how there was hundreds of kids at this house, all right? And it was one of those things that I was like, okay, how are we going to do this one? And God just kind of led it and made a way. And I'd never seen the funeral home so packed in my life. And so this young girl happened to be on a Christmas weekend after that. And I remember just having some conversations with them and just her being really honest, and some of the other kids there being really honest about, you know, hey, my brother died, we got this situation going on, we got these things, and you know, but, you know, where is God in this? Where is he? You know, does that make you wonder where God is? And there's moments you better believe that. And as we continued, we're going to unpack this a little bit more, but it's a real question. When you're dealing with these things in life, where is God? I don't feel his presence in the midst of these things. You see, the psalmist wrote, God, I need your presence and I feel nothing. In the Bible, David said, he was so close with God. Look at what he wrote in the Psalm 23. We all pull that out at funerals, don't we? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You feel it in that dark place, in that place of pain and suffering. But then again, David also wrote Psalms and said, where are you, God? Where are you? My enemies are coming around me, and I'm crying out to you, and that valley of the shadow of death is real near, and you're not here. I don't feel you. I can't see you. I can't experience you. The Apostle Paul, who had one of the greatest experiences ever, so much so he couldn't even speak about what he experienced with God and the risen Christ. Afterwards, he was so ready to go, and he had to wait for years before God really put him together. We think that he just had a conversion and went out and started preaching. That's not how it worked for him. He had to wait years, and even the church didn't want to deal with him. He might have said, God, where are you? Because now I don't connect where I did. Now I don't connect where you want me to be. What am I supposed to do? Where are you, God, in the midst of this? And so what he did, he made tents, and he had this passion to share the gospel. He wrote most of the New Testament, and yet he had nowhere to go with what God had given him. And Jesus, who was fully God, fully human all the time, when he became sin on our behalf, and sin separates us from God, when he became sin on our behalf, even on the cross, he cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? Alone. Where are you, God? Jesus, in his greatest moment of suffering and pain, took on the sin of the world, and was wondering, where are you, God? Some of you might know this author, C.S. Lewis. How many know C.S. Lewis? I never heard of him. You might know him from the Chronicles of Narnia, or from Mere Christianity, the Screwtape Letters. He wrote. He's like, for those of you who don't know him much, he's like a rock of Christian writing faith. And if you ever want a more philosophical, theological stance on why Christianity makes sense, I challenge you to pick up the book, Mere Christianity. Here's what he wrote, though, one time. He was writing about his struggle with not hearing God, and he wrote and he said this, a door slammed in my face and a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. After that, silence. And he was honest, and he said he began to doubt God's existence. And he said, there are no lights in the windows. It might be an empty house. Was it ever inhabited? It seemed so once. Why is God so present a commander in our time of prosperity and yet so absent in our time of trouble? So why don't we feel God? Why don't we feel the presence of God? I'm going to share with you a few ways today about why we don't feel the presence of God, and then you can take it and roll with it and do what you want to. Okay, does that sound like a plan? Everybody good? All right, so here we go. Number one. Maybe you're playing it up too much. Maybe we're putting too big of a deal on this feeling stuff. Okay? And we're not alone. Remember I said we're not alone? We're not alone. Let's look at the disciples. What the disciples said in John chapter 6, verses 30 and 31. So they asked Jesus, "What sign then will you give me that I may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven." Here's what the disciples are doing. Okay, we're going along with this. But Jesus, if you are really who you say you are, do some cool trick for us. Nothing in my hand? Let me pull a candy from your ear? I don't know what they wanted. They wanted something. They wanted a big sign from Jesus. Now, I thought he did really cool stuff that would have done it for me if I was there with him. But he's doing it for us today, and we still want signs. We still want in neon light flashing, bling, bling, bling. They wanted a huge sign of what he would do. They even went back to history and said, we're good Sabbath school boys. For a matter of fact, we remember back in the day in the book of Exodus where you gave bread from heaven. That was a sign. We want some bread from heaven. Come on. Wonder bread right here. Use all the price of bread, God. Flow it down right here. Put it in my hands. Okay? And today we're no different. We maybe say, you know, God, I'm dating that girl and I really like her, but I'm not sure she's the one. I need you to give me a sign. I need you to come out of the heavens and like just be like, this is the one, and put a cloud and an arrow going bling, 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 you know, or just rain on her or whatever, rain on everybody else. And not, I need that, God. And you expect God to say that, or you expect God to say, knoweth, that is not if the one, that one is one who sits in the cheap seats, not in the good box. Remember that from a couple weeks ago. This is not the one that you should have. Okay? We want that, don't we, in life? We want an angel to come from heaven. We read about it, so we want the same thing. Come on, Mary got it. I want it too. And so we want an angel to come and show up and have like one of those spinning pizza arrow signs. Or just like John Travolta, right here. That's the one. Okay? God doesn't always do it that way. He does at times. But he doesn't always do it that way. You see, there's been times in my life, and I'm gonna give you a mix of a Bible and my own self. There have been times in my life that major spiritual things, I was supposed to feel something, and I felt absolutely nothing, or I felt the wrong thing. You with me? One of those was communion as a kid. And communion as a kid, I'd been so desensitized to it because it was like, you know, here we go, and here's what we have. And they had them in the little croutons. Anybody know the little breadcrumbs? Somebody was actually making those because they didn't sell them in the bread. So God bless them, they're doing it. And they were given in these silver trays with little shot glasses. You know what I mean? And you had the little holes in the railing, and you would go up, and you would like, and I remember my friend Damon, we were going up, and he was like, and he didn't get enough, and he's like, licking it through, and I was laughing. I mean, I didn't know that's what you were supposed to do, but anyway, you weren't supposed to do it, obviously, but I got nothing after. I went back and sat down and thought, that just gave me bad breath. All right, you know, I didn't know what was going on, and it was fine. I understood some things. Or there's been several times that people said to me, you got to go on this retreat. You got to go on this, I'm telling you, go on this retreat. And you go on this retreat, and you're like, oh, can't you feel God? I'm like, no, I can't. I don't like this. I don't like what's going on here. I want to go home. I want to go home. Anybody been in places like that? I want to go home. Oh, you got to hear this pastor speak. And they start speaking, and you're like, no, I want to go home. Right? Hopefully you don't feel that right now. All right? So, and the other thing, I want to tell you the biggest one that I remember in a churchy event. I shared a little bit last week, and you got to see my robe, about how during the ordination process, I was ordained in the United Methodist Church, and I went through this process, and by the time it was completed, it was like a 7-year process, so it was a long, long time. I had a Master's of Divinity, I had to take these other classes, which were useless, but where I would go ahead and talk with people. So by the time it was time for me to get this ordination, they had given me several different, quote, mentors or counseling elders. At the time, they wouldn't give me the one I wanted, but all this kind of stuff. And I could pick two people who could go ahead and be up there with me, with the bishop who laid his hands on me. And one was my mentor, who I liked, but I wasn't super close to. He was going to lay his hands on me. And the other one I picked was my dad. Okay, you can only have two. All right. And so people were there. And as the people were there surrounding me, I had the white robe on that I had on last week. I had that on, and I gave them the stole, and they were gonna stole me, like put a stole over my neck, and I was gonna be like, and you know, they were like, I'm telling you, I had other people, this is gonna be an important moment. This is gonna be, you're gonna feel the presence of God. And people were coming up to me and going, Jack, I want you to take time to take all this in. Okay? Really, this is a major move of God. I said, okay. So I'm getting all geared up for this. And it came to this moment, and they had this little kneeler, and they had Bishop Peter Weaver, who I really loved dearly. He was there. I had this one guy, had my dad there, had a crowd of people, and they said the things, and they laid hands on me and prayed, and I was ordained, and I stood up, and I turned around, and there was people clapping. I was like, that was it? This is what I'm thinking in my mind. That was it? Let's go on. I'm coming from University of Maryland, Eastern Shore. I'm ready to get home. That's what I felt at that moment, where I'm supposed to feel this like, oh, I thought the heavens were going to open and Jesus was going to come down and go, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, that's what I expected. It didn't happen. I couldn't wait to get out of that hot robe and go have something to eat. That's where I was in that situation. How many of you have had situations where you're supposed to feel something and you don't? It's supposed to be godly and you're supposed to feel the presence of God and you don't. You see, feelings are not the only evidence of the presence of God. Let me share this with you. If you always felt God, it wouldn't be called faith. If you always felt God, you have no need for faith. And the scripture says, it is impossible without faith, it is impossible to please God. We need faith in our lives. And some of us are looking for something grandiose from God, and we like entertainment. Don't we? We are an entertainment-driven culture. In our Disciple Bible study the other night, we kind of got talking about some of this, how we like entertainment. And I asked the question, and I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but I've asked this question of several different groups, not only them, about what is church about? What is worship about? And got some great answers about connecting with others, being able to serve the poor and hungry, being able to learn, having kids learn, you know, not... It took a while. It eventually gets there. But the main reason is to give God praise. That God, and that's first. God is jealous. God wants to be first in our lives, and that's the main thing. So that's number one. Number two, and I'm going to share this with you, and we may not like it. Maybe you have a heart of stone. Okay? Look at the person next to you and say, how's your heart? All right, a heart of stone. What does that mean? If I had a dollar, I could even say 50 cents, for every time I saw somebody, I knew somebody who was really on fire for God, who loved the Lord, and then something happened in life, and they hardened their hearts, I would be an extremely, extremely wealthy man. There are so many people, and I can tell you they've been in this church, they've been in every church I've served, they've been in the world, and something happened that caused them to harden their hearts. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 through 15. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become what? Callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. They hardly hear with their ears. In other words, one time they heard God. Another time they saw and looked for what God had for them, but now they've reached a point where they just shut it down. And so what is the main reason? What is the main reason why we harden our hearts? And I'm going to give you one, and I struggle with this, but I got this. And it's called sin. Okay? It's called sin. And sin is such a weighty word. I was looking for something else, but it fits. I'm going to tell you why. Sin can mean also hurt, broken feelings, etc., etc. Because what sin does, it breaks intimacy with God, and it separates us from God. For instance, let me get you guys are looking quizzical, so let me help you here. Okay, so say you have a marriage. People are married. And let's say they get separated. Are they still married? Do they still have an intimate relationship? No, that's what it does. Sin does not completely break us off from the relationship we have with Christ, but what it does, it separates us from his intimacy and his love. And so what we end up with is a situation that when we get used to these sins or things in our lives, which is even worse, we get used to some of these things, it covers up our hearts so much, and it's like plaque building up on your heart that we can't feel God. Everybody with me? You're still looking quizzical. So I'm going to give you a visual illustration. All right. Here we go. Okay. When it's cold outside, when it's freezing cold outside, what do? Okay. Here we go. So the first thing that you do is you might put out some pants. Might pull out some ski pants. Hold on. I've never gotten dressed. I'm usually taking it off up here, right? Here we go. So, all right. First time I preached in ski pants, I can tell you that. All right. So I'm cold down here. Should I put on my ski pants? No, I'm good. Okay, my legs are warm. Can I still feel it? Yes, what do I got to do? Jacket, here we go. We good? I can zip that up. So here we go. We got my ski pants. I'm looking good, aren't I? All right, you get the picture. Okay, there we go. All right, wait, but there's still some other stuff here, right? I lost it. There we go. All right, I'm getting close. Hold on. This is hot. All right. Use the force. Okay, here we go. Now I go outside. Am I going to feel the cold? Am I? No. I'm not. I can put on more stuff. This is hot. And by the way, this is how we approach our relationship with God when we harden our hearts. Because guess what? God, I pray for something, and guess what? You didn't answer my prayer. Or God, I like this in my life, so I'm going to put that in my life. When we do that, we're separating ourselves from God. And we do these things time and time again, right? You agree with me? You just want to see how long it takes me to get out of this, don't you? All right. So this is what we do in our lives. How's my hair look? There we go. All right. So what we see, sin breaks intimacy with God. Good? All right. Sin breaks intimacy with God. When we get used to these things, and that's the danger, when we get used to these things that makes our heart hard, it keeps us from God. So some of us may be sitting here saying, you know what, okay, Jack, but I don't do the big sins, whatever they are. We do what I call popular sins. Like, for instance, envy. How many of us get on social media and go, man, I wish I had that. Oh, gosh. Oh, man, look at what my friends got. They're bad people. I don't even like them. Why are they my friends? All right. Or dare I say gluttony? What about laziness? What about just being lazy? We talked about lust. Like, what about, look at that. Okay, but God, everybody's doing it. Look at it. She wearing that, God. How do you expect me to be holy? I mean, ooh, look at that. Right? Well, look again. One eye, Lord. Okay, you know, that kind of stuff. What about this one? You ready for this one? Starts with a G and ends with gossip. What about gossip? You know, we need to pray for so-and-so. I'm not one to talk about him, but we need to pray for her because she's doing such-and-so. You didn't hear from me because I'm just praying because I want her to get better. Right? We wrap it in other kinds of things like that. You see, David got into an area, and we need to do a checkup every once in a while, an evaluation of how we're doing with these acceptable sins, these popular sins. David said, God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Okay, this is what he said. You know, so I want to ask you a question for this one. Is there a sin, and I almost put something, is there a sin that you've gotten comfortable with? Because I want to share with you, the definition of sin, it carries a lot of churchy weight, doesn't it? When you hear sin, you think, boom, like a big heavy weight. But is there something that is keeping you from God? Is there something that is in the place of God in your life? You know, is it something that you can go ahead and do? You're not going to make the front page that you can do, but you can go on doing churchy stuff? You know what I mean? Number three, here we go. maybe God wants to get you to move closer to him. Maybe God wants you to get closer to him. Look at what it says here in Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 27. It's getting hot up here. Okay. It says, you will be ever hearing. I'm sorry, in Acts. It says, from one man, God made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. In other words, God brought you from the very first point of time and has you in a point. You're here for this time. Right now, God has you for here for this point in time. Why? He's given a good history lesson of creation and why we're here. But then he tells the reason why. And here's the reason why. Look what he does. It says here. God did this so they would do what? What? Seek him and perhaps reach out and find him, though he is not, what? Far from any of us. God did this so that you would reach out and find him and seek him. God may want you to move closer. So why don't we hear God? And I'm going to give you three quick things that I started thinking about why areas in my life where I haven't heard God. Number one, I really do not know God like I think I do. We all have a perception of God, and I would dare say that our perception of the American Christianity has made God something that we can put on the shelf and go visit him whenever we want to. And we can talk to God whenever we want to, and God's going to be there. Okay, we've made it about salvation, and that's it. I've got my ticket punched, and then I'm good. And it's much, much more than that. God wants a relationship with you. Okay, have you ever had somebody that you thought you knew? Has anybody had somebody that you thought you knew, and then in the paper you see their name that they did something, and you're like, oh my gosh, no way. Were you shocked by that? Guess what? You really didn't know them. Okay? So many times we're shocked by what God does because we really don't know him the way we should. Number two, one of the other rare areas where I've realized why I don't hear is because I am not listening the way I should. My kids, I really spend a lot of time talking to my kids, and I realize how much they spend a lot of time not listening to what I say. How many of you have ever had to tell a kid the same thing three times in a row? How many of them did not do it? Any teachers? There you go, all right? Guess what? How many believe that God may have been telling you something and you just ignored him? My father-in-law was a great person to sit to. You'd be sitting right next to him, and you would have like a five-minute conversation, and you'd say, right? And he'd go, huh? Literally, I had like five, 10-minute conversations, and I thought it was a great conversation, but he was like, what? All right? And so I guess I was boring company. I don't know, but what happens there, how many of you have had conversations with people like that? You're not listening, all right? So many times we're like that. Number three, I'm not in the right place. How many of you have been in a phone conversation, you're on the cell phone, you're talking to someone, and you're talking, and you're talking, and you're talking, and then you realize they're not there? Isn't that great? You realize that it just dropped and you're talking and it's not going there. No one is listening. Or have you ever tried to have a personal conversation across the stadium with somebody? Hey, how are you? You're not going to have it. It's not going to happen because you're in the wrong place. If you want to have a conversation with someone, how many of you have been text messaging someone and you just get tired of it and you pick up the phone and call them? All right. How many of you have ever had spell check completely ruin what you were trying to say? Okay, there are some dangerous things about that spell check. Or worse, the voice, and somebody, you think you got it good, and you send it, and because you're being real conscientious and not making sure you're not texting and driving, and you go ahead and you say it, and it gets to them, and somebody says, what in the world? You want an elephant where? Okay, you know, like, no, I have no clue what I'm talking about. All right. There's so much extra noise in our lives that we can't often hear God. And so what I believe is the reason why God allows this sometimes is because sometimes we don't feel God, but we want more of him. Like, for instance, deprivation draws out desire. Like, for instance, I'm going to give you an example. When you don't eat for a while, what are you? Hungry. That's all you can think about, right? When you haven't eaten, you're like, I need food. And I need it now. If anything's moving slowly, I will eat it. Okay, you go through that. If you haven't drank anything in a while, what do you want? You're thirsty. You want something to drink. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Have you had somebody that's a good friend of yours that you wanted to spend time with and you didn't have time to spend with them, and you're just kind of like, hey, you know, I'd love to get together. You miss them. Or you have a spouse that you want to go ahead and you want to spend time with, and life's so busy, you are spending time together, but you're not spending time together. You know what I mean? And a lot of times we take the same approach. Like, our schedules are so busy. I know mine is very busy, and Melissa's very busy. And so sometimes we just don't have time to even see each other or talk. Or she's taking the kids here, or I'm taking the kids there, or I have this meeting, and I have that job to do, and I have this, and we're... And then, you know, like for us, the joy was just the other night to go to Iron Hill Brewery, have some dinner, and then for a cheap meal, go over to Duck Donuts, which is an awesome place. And it's either close to heaven or hell. I'm not sure which one yet because it's amazing. So you know what I mean? Just that time together. You long for that time together when you don't have it. And you should. And I think sometimes that's what God says. You know, you've been far away from me, so now I want you to draw yourself to me. God is bringing you to this point. As I said earlier, God is jealous, wants to be number one. And just because God is silent, it does not mean that he is absent. You need to pursue him. A guy named Tommy Tenney wrote an incredible book many years ago called God Chasers. How many of us are chasing after God? You remember when you were dating, or right when you wanted to date, and you found that significant other, and you're like, I like the looks of her. Remember how you would call on the phone, and how you would send, like, flowers, and you would send cards? You write those little poems that men, if they bring out now, you'll be very embarrassed. You know what I mean? You pursued them because you wanted that relationship with them, right? I doubt that anybody here who's married or has a relationship just talked to somebody once and said, hey, maybe why don't we get married one day and then we won't spend any time together. Am I right? You pursued them. You wanted a relationship with them, and you would do anything to do that. How many of us have really taken time to pursue God and to chase a relationship with him? And so what I want you to do here, I want you to have a longing for God. And as we wrap today's up, I want you to embrace the moments when you do feel God's presence. And never forget, when you don't feel him, he's still there. He's still there. Just as the cold is still there when I'm wrapped all up. I mean, there's been times when I've been outside and wrapped up that I actually start to sweat. But the cold's still there. Okay? Embrace, and here's something I want you to do that we didn't touch on. This is a whole other sermon. Don't forget to embrace his presence in everyday events. When you walk in after a busy day and you're frustrated and your kid comes up and says, hi, Daddy, and wants to give you a hug, recognize the presence of God is there. When you have dinner with your spouse when everything else is crazy and life stops for that moment, and you can just say, hey, thanks, God, for this. When you're at work, even though you may hate it, thank God that you have it. Thank God that he's placed you there for this time to be a light for him. You see, God's presence is there even when you don't expect it. Remember I was talking about the young girl at the retreat event? There were several girls around where we had this discussion. It was about 12 or 1 o'clock at night when we're having this conversation on, I believe, a Saturday evening. And we're having this conversation, and it wasn't just a surface-level conversation. It was from the depths of their hearts of loss and pain and struggle and trying to find God. And here they are on this weekend, and they're hearing this stuff, and they're experiencing some of this, but they still aren't feeling God. And then they all had a time where they got to share, a couple times when they got to share. And many of them shared about the love that they received. And I remember this girl and a couple other girls had shared that about some struggles that they had in their lives, and they said, you know, one of the things that I have gotten out of this weekend is simply this. No matter what's going on in life, I know God is here with me, and I know he loves me. For you today, if you don't feel him all the time, jump on board. Jump in the ship. There's many of us who do that. But it doesn't mean he's still not there. It means he's very present, and he still loves you. Isn't that awesome? That we have a God that even when we don't feel him, he's still there. So when, as the worship team comes up, when you are in a moment where you're struggling and your faith is like C.S. Lewis and you feel like God has bolted the door shut, double bolted, and the lights are off, take a moment and look back through and see, where's my heart? Is my heart a stone? Am I really putting too much on feelings, or do I need to put more on my faith? And God, where do you want to move me closer to you? And just embrace him. Amen? All right, let's stand up and let's worship God at this moment, right now. And as some individuals come up to be available to pray with you. Lord God, I just want to pray for everyone here today and those who are part of our online. Just as that the struggle of those young girls on that weekend, saying, I don't feel you, God, particularly in the tragedies of life and losing people that I love. I feel anything else but you. And how can I put my trust in someone or something that I don't feel? You know, I hear those annoying Christians that say, I prayed and this happened, I prayed, and it's all good stuff, God, but does that mean that you really don't care about me or that you just don't exist? Maybe the lights are off in the house. God, right now, I want to ask you to just make yourself real to people. Not only through feelings, but just through words. That God, sometimes the answer is, because of what's going on in my life, my heart is hardened. I pray for all those who once knew you and loved you dearly, who heard you and sought you and everything else, and I pray for them now that as we speak, that they will hear you calling them right now as you're breaking down their hearts of stone that have hardened by life. And God, for others in this area, there may be somebody who is just wanting a sign from heaven. This is the way. This is the way right here. God, help them get into your word so that you can speak through your scripture. Help them open their ears to listen. Help them be in a place where they can hear you. And help us all be a place we obey your word and your calling. God, I also want to pray for people here today that have been saying, I want to believe, but I don't feel all tingly. I hear people say, oh, you just feel the Spirit. You just feel it. God, I've been around this a long time, they may say, and I've never felt anything but pain and hurt and uncertainty. God, help them know that even if they don't have the tinglies or the goosebumps, that you're here. Just as that girl said, I know that God is here and he loves me. He loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus to pay the ultimate price for us. Even giving up, even taking all the sin in the world which separated him so that he could reconnect us. So God, in this moment, for anyone who would love to just reach out and receive that gift that you have in Jesus, I ask that you instill them with strength to do so. And that God, you make yourself real to them in the days and the weeks to come, whether it be just from a word from somebody else or whether it be your presence. Whatever you may do, God, you do your thing. Because guess what? Your thing is far greater than anything that I can think of. And we'll love you. This altar is now open. It's an altar is a place to come and let something die. We've got those popular sins in our lives, and we're saying, I just got to get rid of it so I can get to the heart of God. Let us do that. If we just need somebody to love on us for a while, God, help us do that. Whatever it may be, do your thing, and we'll give you praise in Christ's name.
Thank you. breath, every pulse of my heart. Christ, have mercy, let mercy abound. I need you, I need you now. God, pour out your grace, glorious grace, that I would be held by your perfect embrace.
Hands raised, eyes closed, just give our glorious grace, God. You're like rising seas that swallow this death and the sin in me. Sing it out. God,
who
I worship you for your glory, my all in all. You are worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. I worship you.
We all need God, amen? And so just reach out. Reach out to him during this time. I pray that you have an awesome week in the Lord and that he'll minister to you even more so. And I hope that he makes his presence real. And even if not, he's still there. And so next week, we're going to wrap up our series and we're going to talk about the heartless, callous God. We have that, callous God. Okay? So we're going to tackle this next one. And then it's Palm Sunday. So have a great week. God bless.